Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends breast milk as the best nutrition for infants, but are there times when it's okay to feed some formula or to supplement with formula versus exclusive breastfeeding? My guest is Dr. Lori Feldman-Winter. She's a professor of pediatrics at Cooper Medical School of Rowan University. Welcome to the show, Dr. Winter. Let's talk about breastfeeding versus formula feeding. Is there a time when we know the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends exclusive breastfeeding, but are there times when it's okay to use formula?
So thank you for having me. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends exclusive breastfeeding, meaning nothing but mother's milk for about the first 6 months of life. And the reasons for that is that many of the health benefits that both babies and mothers can get from breastfeeding really relate not only to breastfeeding at all, but really relate to the exclusivity of breastfeeding. So giving formula really undermines any of those health advantages that we see. And sometimes the health advantages actually date back to the first few days of life. So the things that happen to the baby's immune system are actually being programmed from the minute that the baby's born. And so any introduction of infant formula or anything else during that period of time will interfere with that very sensitive process. So we don't recommend the inclusion of anything but mother's milk during that time.
Okay, so at the hospital, is there any research that would show that it helps a mom to be more successful at the long-term breastfeeding?
So there's a recent study that was published in Pediatrics that was cutely named the ELF study, the Early Limited Formula Study, where they enrolled mothers. They asked mothers if they wanted to participate in a randomized controlled trial if their babies had lost 5% of their birth weight in the first couple of days of life. Mind you, 5% is normal weight loss within the exclusive breastfeeding population. Nevertheless, they use that parameter to then approach moms and say, do you want to be part of our study? The majority of mothers opted out because they really came indicating their desire to exclusively breastfeed, knowing all of the evidence behind exclusive breastfeeding. Some mothers opted in and participated in the study, and in that group of mothers, when they randomized the group to either one arm where they got limited amounts of formula in addition to continuing to breastfeed, as opposed to the other arm of the study, which was comfort measures. And the comfort measures had to do with swaddling and shushing and giving a pacifier. In the outcome, when they followed these mothers after they left the hospital, they looked to see how many of the mothers in each of the arms of the study were still breastfeeding and how many were doing nothing but breastfeeding at that time. And they found in their study that the mothers that actually had the early limited formula were doing more breastfeeding as they left the hospital months down the line. So there's a couple of problems with this study, and I think that the first problem is that you can't generalize the study because there were clear differences in the population that opted out, those mothers that had a true desire and maybe more efficacy, self-efficacy to exclusively breastfeed versus the mothers that opted into the study that were sort of ambivalent. And the control arm is problematic in that instead of providing increased breastfeeding support and maybe methods to have moms express milk, such as early hand expression, as opposed to the other comfort measures, which might, in fact, undermine breastfeeding, things like pacifier use or shushing, as opposed to responding to the baby's cues for feeding, might have, in fact, interfered with continued breastfeeding.
Now, so Dr. Winter, is there a time when it is okay to get, you know, if there's mothers out there that are crying about this and they're uncomfortable, or their baby is losing more weight than is normal, or they're just not into it, they're not, is there a time when it's okay?
So we would always respect a mother's choice in terms of her method of infant feeding that she chooses. So that said, you know, the mother's choice is really the bottom line of how we would counsel and continue with an appropriate feeding plan. But medically speaking, the question really is about whether there's a medical indication. There are some medical indications to provide a supplement to the mom's breastfeeding. So, and most of those don't necessarily occur on the first day of life, because very often babies can go with very minimal amounts of volume in that first day of life. In fact, in the old days, we used to feed babies nothing in the whole first day of life.
Now, wait, Dr. Winter, because we don't have very much time, I would like to ask you, is there a time about donor milk? Because there's a lot of internet-fueled fad of sharing milk among moms. And is it okay to give another woman's milk to your baby?
Right. So I was going to say, in the case that a medical indication for supplementation is warranted, our first method of supplementation that we recommend would be donor milk. So we do have in the United States safe methods of accessing donor milk. Those mothers can donate milk to Himbana Milk Bank, and many hospitals have access to donor milk. So that would be our first choice for supplementation, would be mother's own milk would be the first choice. And then if a supplementation is needed a mother isn't able to express her own milk as opposed to directly breastfeeding, she could get donor milk.
And back in the day, of course, there was wet nurses and things like that. So babies have been fed another woman's milk throughout the ages. But, you know, is it this fad that they're sharing milk among moms? Do you think that this is something that is going through the hospitals officially, or do you think that these are just, you know, kind of women watching the celebrities and seeing them on the media and saying, oh, I would do that?
Right. So there's a big distinction between donor milk that's acquired through a certified milk bank as opposed to donor milk that is by a friend and not processed, milk sharing, or even a friend of the mother's who she knows. So there's very few situations where we would make a recommendation to use sort of a friend's milk or use the old way of giving wet nursing milk to a baby because of the risk of infection and other substances that we can't screen for. So we recommend donor milk that's processed through a milk bank. That said, there are rare instances where hospitals have made it work for mothers that have really extenuating circumstances. For example, a mother that has cancer, is going through chemotherapy, may have a friend who is willing to donate her milk. Other situations where you have same-sex parents, and there's a willingness to share milk. So there are extenuating circumstances, but the casual milk sharing that's going on now over the internet, as healthcare professionals, we don't recommend doing that.
And so in the last just 30 seconds, Dr. Winter, kind of wrap this up for us about formula feeding versus exclusive breastfeeding and your recommendations.
So our recommendations are that mothers should exclusively breastfeed and not supplement her breastfeeding with any infant formula. And if there's a medical indication to supplement, that the first choice would be donor human milk. And the best way to support exclusive breastfeeding is really to be in a baby-friendly designated hospital or a hospital where they have implemented the 10 steps to successful breastfeeding, starting out within the first hour of life.
You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Our guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.